Let's go ahead and get started. My name is Stacy Young. I'm a SACNET board director, board member, sorry. And this is a panel about cults and the internet and how the internet can facilitate and otherwise affect this whole issue that we're all dealing with. I just want to say a couple of things before we get started. Lawrence Wallersheim, Arnie Lerma, and Bob Penny were the three people who really spearheaded the whole use of the internet to provide information on a really large scale about cults. I would have to say that we owe them a debt of gratitude for the work that they have done in really turning the internet into a tool for the dissemination of information about cults. As we all know, that control of information is one of the most important methods of control that cults use. And with the advent of the internet, it's become really impossible for them to do this. There's so much information on the internet about various cults that there is really no way to staunch this flow any longer. We've all heard a lot about, and we all, many of us know, what happened with the Cult Awareness Network, that Scientology went after them with aggressive litigation, and as a result of this, the Cult Awareness Network doesn't exist any longer. Scientology is trying to do the same thing with SACNET. SACNET is involved in litigation with Scientology after a number of raids on SACNET computers and SACNET directors' homes. And it may or may not be the case that Scientology wins the litigation against SACNET, as they did in their litigation against CAN. But regardless of whether they do or not, there's no way that they can stop the information that SACNET has already put out all across the world. The information that SACNET has provided on the internet is now available on many, many other websites. And really, no matter what happens to SACNET, the information has really digital immortality. So the internet is just totally, totally changing the face of this whole of our movement, as far as we at SACNET are concerned. And I think today you'll have a chance to hear from a number of people here that will show you how that really is the case. I'm going to introduce the people on the panel, and I want to point out that actually there's only two people up here that are former Scientologists, myself and Jesse Prince. The rest of the people up here have become involved in the whole issue of cults from the point of view of the internet and freedom of speech. And I think it's really important to understand this is the whole issue of cults is not just an issue for former cult members. It's also an issue for everybody in this country and all over the world as it relates to our basic freedoms. And that's how these people have become involved in it, and they'll tell you a lot about that as well. To my right here is Grady Ward. He's the SACNET webmaster. And he has had his own experiences with Scientology litigation, which he'll detail for you. This is Rod Keller. He publishes a newsletter, which is a summary of one of the news groups called Alt Religion Scientology. He's going to be talking to you a lot about how the internet has really changed the media's relationship with cults. This is Jesse Prince. He was second in command of Scientology for a number of years, and he has quite a lot of important information to provide about what goes on at the highest levels of Scientology. He's not a computer expert in any way, but he is just a user of the internet, and he wants to talk to you about, you know, different ways that any one of you can use it for information and to provide information to others. And to my left here is Bob Minton, and he has also had some exciting experiences with the Internet and Scientology, which he'll tell you about.
I'm Grady Ward. I'm the webmaster for FactNet. I have been for the last little over 3 months. It's not as important as it sounds, just because I haven't gotten slaps up information on the website, so I know all the details about FTP and email and using the front page or other editors, HTML and all that kind of stuff. The reason why I'm participating with FactNet, I'm going to talk a little bit about the war of the Internet, Scientology versus the Internet, and my role in it. And there's going to be a free offer at the end, so you need to pay attention. Before 1994, a Usenet group, which is a discussion board, a bulletin board, called Alt Religion Scientology, was a pretty backwaters little group, one out of many thousands on the Internet. On it were ex-Scientology members talking about their experiences, commiserating, sometimes people who believed in the belief system of Scientology but didn't believe in the corporate structure of it, called Free Zoners. And it was a pretty quiet little group. Well, toward the end of 1994, there began to be some anonymous postings of material that the Scientology believed was their property, their copyrighted property. Now, normally, the Bible, other groups distribute their Bible. I mean, you see in hotel rooms, you often see a Gideon Bible in your desk drawer. And most belief systems are very happy to propagate their belief system. But email started threatening email to members commenting on this anonymously posted material appeared on this news group on religion Scientology from attorneys associated with Scientology, threatening them not to quote in excessive fair use. Now, why would a belief system want to inhibit the distribution and dissemination of their material? Well, I and several others believe it was to conceal the elaborate bait and switch scheme, the criminal fraud that I believe is inherent as part of the Scientology enterprise. For example, in the beginning texts of Scientology, what is Scientology? I remember reading a phrase saying, we're compatible with all religions, so come on in, take the orientation film, and you'll find a friend here in Scientology. Someone posted a strip of Hubbard's own voice saying there is no Christ. Christ is an enemy implant designed to enslave. The whole crucifixion scene is just a replay of an alien motion picture intended to enslave your mind. And that Jesus was a person who was suffered just for his own sins. And that was a tremendous arrogance to presume that he was in any way a deity. Now, whether you believe that or not, it doesn't matter. The point is that Scientology is clearly not compatible with Christianity. Generally you don't trash another's deity and consider yourself compatible with him. Well, that particular recording is part of what's called the Class A tape, which is only given to the people who've been trained or brainwashed, depending on your point of view, or have spent many hundreds of thousands of dollars to get to the very highest levels of Scientology. And clearly giving this to what Scientologists refer to the raw meat, or the newly proselytized people off the street, to give them this information too early might, of course, jeopardize their chances of becoming full-fledged Scientologists. So, clearly at a financial stake in the this material off the web, even though it was a very small segment of material. In January 11, 1995 is a key date for me and for thousands of other Internet citizens who had no previous knowledge or interest in Scientology. On that date, an attorney for the Enterprise of Scientology, Helena Corwin, who I've been told is also a member of their elite paramilitary force called the Sea Org, issued an automatic computer command called an RM group. I won't go into the technical details of what that means, but basically it says to all the thousands of computers on the Internet that to totally extirpate, to destroy the news group, All Religion Scientology. Within the text of the message she sent along with this automatic computer command, said the only reason for the existence of this news group was to propagate and to encourage copyright infringement and trademark violation. The name itself, All Religion Scientology, is a violation of our trademark. Well, it didn't succeed. Many Unix, many of the operators of the internet at the time in 1995 turned off the automatic implementation of the destruction of this ARM group command. It's sort of like typing DEL in DOS and getting rid of your file. Oh, okay, well, yeah, sorry. If there's technical details you want later, I'll be glad to do it in private.
Nobody remembers DOS.
So it failed, but thousands of people started listening to the news group Scientology, because to us it was so shocking that someone's idea of free speech is to get rid of all unfriendly speech. A couple weeks later, there was even a more shocking understanding that the mundane world was interjecting itself into the world of the computers. An armed raid on the house of a critic, an ex-Scientology member named Dennis Ehrlich. Now, this armed raid was carried out under the imprimatur, under the permission and authority of a federal judge, Judge Ronald M. White of San Jose, under the same kind of law that authorizes the seizures of, say, a T-shirt that had been imported from Korea with a Mickey Mouse stamp that wasn't authorized, or millions of videotapes. They went into his house. They had armed ex-off-duty police officers, which they hired. There was no federal marshals or any independent observer. Scientologists for hours ransacked his house. They took, he claims, his private checkbook, material that were unrelated to the content of the seizure order, and he felt completely degraded and violated at the end of that attack. Now, if you can imagine just this computer command of energizing so much interest from the internet, from people who were vigorously in favor of free speech, you can imagine what an armed raid to prevent this person from criticizing Scientology using quotes from the scripture, the alleged scripture of L. Ron Hubbard. You can imagine what that did to the internet. Well, the internet just didn't sit idly by. I personally started taunting them and giving them my metaphorical finger in the realm of speech. I don't go armed raids on anyone. We're Scientologists. I do not threaten. I do not condone or participate in any kind of violence, but I do speak my mind. And, of course, Scientologists didn't like that. In April of 1995, two Scientologists trespassed at my house in Arcata, California, a very small rural town 100 miles south of the Oregon border around the California coast. George Jeffrey Kuros has the same position as, I believe, this gentleman Carmichael here. He's an intelligence officer for the secret police force of Scientology. His job is to eliminate all dissension to Scientology and clear the world of any kind of dissension, which, according to their leader, according to his leader, all of us, anybody who criticizes Scientology anyway, is a criminal. There's no maybe, there's no would be, will be, is a criminal. It's just a matter of finding or manufacturing your crimes. I asked them to leave. My wife asked them to leave. They would not leave. He called the police. He filled out a police report. They did finally leave. And the following month, my mother, an elderly woman in Tacoma, Washington, hundreds of miles north of us, received a visit from a person named Eugene Martin Ingram. Mm-hmm. Yeah. He has, for the last 20 years, been a private investigator hired by the Church of Scientology to intimidate, harass, and to, again, clear the planet, make it safe for Scientologists to operate with impunity. He, through lying, he said his name was Jack Hoff. I guess he thought to an elderly mother that would be a good joke, a little indecency. And he said that he was an old friend of mine, and I was such a wonderful guy. He just forgot what I looked like, and he'd like to see what my family would get caught up with me. So my mom said, well, being a flattered mom, and I had warned her that they would probably attempt something like that, gave her photographs of my children and myself. And the message was clear to me. Why would they put him up? My mother's never criticized him. My children have never criticized him. I mean, they're 7 and 8. I mean, they don't know what's going on. Well, the message is clear. Scientologists cannot guarantee my children's safety. They cannot guarantee my mother's safety unless I just stop my speech, because my speech is damaging to them. And it probably was. They're not used to having people giving them the metaphorical finger over and over and over again and encouraging more people to think freely and to criticize freely. And they don't like that. That's why they have packed this meeting with at least, I think, 3, 4, 5 of them. More than any other group here, I'm sure, any other meeting. because we are the enemies. The internet is their Vietnam. It's the Hydra with 20,000 heads.
Well,
I'll take it back, Heidi.
Well, I'm not the only one criticized the internet. Simultaneously, I mean, there's thousands of people interested. Many are lurkers, which means people are participating without giving their identity, which is a good move when you're dealing with Scientology. And there's some shadowy presences emerged at the same time who didn't just publish little snippets of their alleged property. They published hundreds and thousands of their pages of their cosmology, material that, again, was not intended to, in my interpretation, not intended to damage their economic base. It was intended to simply cut the bait and switch, give full disclosure to people so that they can make up their decision for whether to join or not. Personally, I have no problem with the belief systems. I just have a problem with the criminality. I think Scientology is an extremely colorful belief system, and along with animism, Greek mythology, along with the other world belief systems, I think it deserves a place in the pantheon. But not the criminality. Not the criminality. That's the, where I draw the line, very clear, I'm an absolutist, and sort of there. Bait and switch fraud, no. So, this shattering entity called Scamasat, a shattering entity called Vorlon, and many other identities started posting large blocks of their alleged materials on, they talked about their Xenu teaching, other parts about body phases and how portions of these small creatures have to be removed that are very expensive. Or very expensive auditing to remove these murdered space aliens that inhibit one's journey through life. And again, if I have more religions, would we welcome that cosmology being distributed to the world? Why not? I mean, if you believe in your own cosmology, why not distribute it? Well, the Scientologists on March 1996 sued me for just under $10 million, alleging that I had violated their copyrights, that I had violated their trade secrets. They didn't allege anything with trademarks, but that's just they just missed that one. Well, I denied all the allegations. I have been in litigation with Scientology for over 2 years. Just the list of docket items, and that's the number of court items that court orders have happened or some filing has been made, and that doesn't include any of the discovery, which means the depositions and so forth. Just the list, the table of contents index is over 700 items, which is about a half an inch thick of paper. And I am a pro per, which means I do not have an attorney. I am in form of pauperis, which means I don't have enough money to even for filing fees. They have used up to 9 attorneys with 4 separate law firms. And at this point, we're still in litigation. We have a tentative settlement. The tentative settlement specifies, among other things, that they cannot lawfully call me a copyright infringer. They cannot lawfully say that I have violated any of their rights. In the end, they have to pay all their own attorney's fees and what they've admitted over $2 million before. I pay them the equivalent of $35,000, and I promise not to violate their rights in the future, even though I have not admitted or found to have violated their rights in the past. And even though there's a tentative conference, it's under appeal right now to the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeal. I just filed my appellate brief, and we're still working it through. I expect the litigation to last for years more, but I'm looking forward to it not because I enjoy litigation. I've never been sued or been arrested or anything in my entire life. It's because I feel strongly that this is a test of my personal character to see whether I stand up to bullies. And so far, with the help of my friend and the help of all of you, except for those who want to destroy me, of course. We're getting to the free offer here, so don't. I don't want to argue my case here, that's for the judges. And it's actually sort of interesting learning about the law and reading cases and all that. But the important point is I'm still here and I can still criticize Scientology. I still solicit information on their criminal activities freely. And of course they would like to stop me, but Judge Jeremy Fogel, a federal judge in the Northern District of California, has permitted me to solicit with the current form of solicitation, and I'm going to do it for as long as I live. And you can bet on that. Offer a little lighter here. I'm a web person on the internet. I'm an assistance programmer for Apple for over a 10-year period. I love computers. I love the internet. I love the free speech possibilities and the distributed nature. It makes it a really hard target. I call it a hardened democracy, the internet, because just like burying your missile silos underground in disparate places, it's hard to sue a bunch of anonymous people in Beijing and Turkey, Ankara, Turkey, and Sweden. In fact, when the Scientologists tried to do that. For example, in Sweden now, there are Knox upper-level scriptures are now a permanent part of the public record there. Any person for about $50 or $60 can get a free copy there just for the cost of copying and take it legally, totally legally in Sweden. Yeah. And that's due to the litigious nature of Scientology and because of the internet has distributed their information throughout the world. Now, the free offer is I will create for you that do not have a web page, a free web page. If you're associated with a countercult group. And it's a way, and it's completely free, which means if you contact Justine Jeanette at FactNet, and we can give you cards and stuff after if you want to know what their address is, you can send me, through her, you can send me a letter, a picture, I'll scan it, I'll put up a page for you, there won't be any monthly fee, no fee at all. I mean, it's absolutely free, it'll be up there as far as I know forever. And you'll have your own little uniform resource located, you know, your www something, something, something. That you can give to your friend and pop it up on the internet and surf the web and have that people get that. So just to get your feet wet. So it's an offer. So for those of you who's not using the internet, I would love to have you part of this because the more of you participate, the richer the internet is for all of us. It's something, it's not a non-zero-sum game, it's not a zero-sum game, it's everybody wins. The marginal utility of you adding it multiplies, it's a quadratic. It goes geometrically up with the number of participants and so you increase my value when you put up your page. So it's not completely gratuitous for my part. It helps me if you put up your page. So please contact us afterwards, and we'll get that going for you as soon as we can.